So last time we began discussing the parameters of what constitutes a tarovess for purposes of boer. We also discussed what constitutes one min versus two minim. And just one ha'ara on what we discussed last time, one of the categories that would make something into two minim is chaluk in bitamam if there are different tastes to the food, even if it's the same official type of food. So I think someone had asked last time, how do we know that would be considered two minim as opposed to min echad? The Prima Gadim, who has half of a line, Prima Gadim in Eshel Avram here, Sivkatan Hey, is Mitzayin Amagan Avram in Hilchas Shechiyanu on Peros. And he says, whether Magan Avram is over there, would presumably be Shayachir or Mitzarachiyan. What's the Magan Avram that he references? Simen Reish Kav Hey, Sivkatan Yud. So the Eshel Avram there, Reish Kaf Hei Sivkat and Yud, writes as follows, that let's say you have peros that are not chaluk in bishman, but chaluk in bitama. You have peros that are of the same type, the same species, but they taste differently. You could go into Einam Levanim or to Einam Shcharos, you have black figs and white figs that have two, that taste different, even though they're both figs. He quotes the Levush, that's considered to be Shnei Minim. He quotes the Shuvas Maril, same thing, Beiv Mine, Agasim, or Tapuchim, pears or apples, or Agozim, walnuts, Mevarchin. And then he quotes, maybe even if they have Tam Echad, but they have different appearances. So the Prima Gadim over here is Messiah in that. He says, it stands to reason that just as in Hilchos Shechiyanu, that if you have black figs and white figs that taste differently, they're considered two minim of food for purposes of Shechiyanu. So too, if you have foods that taste different, even if they're from the same min, and there's significance to that difference, maybe that's a raya that you would consider that shnei minim in Hilchos Boer as well. That's the marmakum of the Prima Gadim. But either way, the post can assume that where there's a significant difference in taste, the question is, how do you define significant? So there are gray areas, but in principle, if there's a significant difference of taste, even if they're the same species, that may be considered to be shnei minim. So at the end of last year, we noted the Ayil Meshulash's categorization that there are three types of taroves. There's a classic taroves, taroves gemura, where you have objects that are mixed together in total chaos. You have taroves b'makam amaga, a mixture at the point of contact. And then you have piles, what he calls taroves shechavot, things that are piled on together. And we ended off discussing a little bit, how do we know that, which seems to be the position of most poskim, that the Malacha Boer is relevant not only to food items, but to other objects as well, like clothing and svarim. So we noted that's the consensus position of Poskim. We quoted a task to that effect in Sivkatan Yud Beis. Mishabru assumes away in Sivkatan Tesvav. And we noted in Or Sameach that as a contrary position, that if you have things that are not Balul, then that wouldn't be considered a Taroves for Boer purposes, it wouldn't be subject to the rules and regulations of Boer. And we quoted that the Rashi quoted from the Rav. He thought the Rav assumed like that Or Sameach as well, and therefore the Rav didn't think that there is any concern at all of Boer when it comes to Svarim. There are other considerations in Poskim, even though the consensus position seems to be that we are concerned about Boer when it comes to Svarim. That's what Mishabru assumes. But there are various other approaches in Achronim that would significantly limit or perhaps totally mitigate any Boer concern when it comes to Svarim. So Rabbi Karp writes in Sif Lamed Vav that if you have Svarim that are piled up, he assumes that would be a potential problem of Boer. But if they are on a bookshelf and each one has its own identity, you could tell that the Svarim are distinct. That's not called a taroves. A pile on the table would be a taroves. Svarim on the bookshelf are not a taroves. Ramosha writes in Tshuva Yud Beis to Rabbi Eider the following qualification. So the question was, do you accept or do you assume that Sfarim on a bookshelf are considered Mu'ravim and therefore subject to Borer? The assumption of Rabbi Eider, the way he frames the question or phrases the question, is that if the title of the Sefer is written on the Sefer, then there's no problem with Borer. But if there are no titles, or it's pitch black and you can't see what you're doing, there should be a problem with Borer. So says Rav Moshe, I already suggested that at the very worst, if there's a Borer situation when it comes to Sfarim, and you want to take out a Sefer now that you don't need now, so it's not La'alter, you can take it out, read it for a minute, and then that already makes it La'alter. Even if your intention is you're doing it now because you want to really learn from the Sefer later. However, but Rav Moshe accepts the premise of Rabbi Eider in his question that we only need to be concerned about Borer if it's dark or if the Sfarim are not labeled, but if they are, that's considered distinct enough and that's not considered to be a Tarovis. And the Ayin Meshulash quotes from Nissen Karelitz, Ayin Meshulash Perek Yudches, that it doesn't make a difference if it's dark. Even if it's dark, if the Sfarim have titles on the binding, so maybe I don't see now because I can't see, but that's not cool. The fact that it's dark doesn't make it into a Tarovis if it wouldn't have been a Tarovis beforehand. The Sfarim are distinct, even if you can't see them, and that's not called a Tarovis just because you can't see. Steven?
I just don't understand why dark doesn't make a difference.
So, Rav Moshe seems to be assuming, at least Rabbi Eider is assuming, Rav Moshe seems to agree, that if you can't tell what's what, then that makes it into... It just like if there are no labels on the Sfarim, so I don't know what Sefer is what, so that's considered that they're mixed together, because I can't identify each one of them independently. So if it's dark, I also can't identify each one of them independently. So he seems to be assuming.
What's the Svara of this Kula? Meaning...
Which Kula?
That if they have their title... Let's have a tarovas of wheat and chaff. So I know that it's
well,
wheat.
Well, I would ask you, what's the svara of the chumra if they don't have a title? Meaning, I would have assumed that the baseline is that this isn't a tarovas. Tarovas means things are mixed together. If I have svarim that are standing next to each other on a shelf, what makes that into a tarovas?
Okay, no, so I did that question also, yeah.
Okay,
but
so then...
Yeah.
So then you're asking, so why would you be... Why does it suddenly become a tarovas just because the titles don't appear? So he seems to be assuming, meaning that would be, you think that would be analogous to, let's say you have clothing in a closet and you have shirts on hangers or suits on hangers, right? So they're next to each other. The fact that something's touching already established doesn't make it into tarovis per se. It has to be some mixture. So if I have hangers that are hanging next to each other, clothing, shirts hanging next to each other and hangers in a closet, is that a tarovis? Or each one has its own identity even though they happen to be touching. So Rabbi Karp assumes that's not called a tarovis. There's no problem with Borer if I go into a closet and take out a shirt to wear tomorrow morning. That's not a problem with Borer because that's not a tarovis. The Ayil Meshulash thinks that if you can't easily access the shirt that you're looking for, maybe that makes it into a tarovis. Meaning even if they're in hangers, but it's kind of, you have to fumble through the closet to get to the shirt that you want, so maybe that's enough to make it into a tarovis. But back to the Sfarim, so I would have assumed that shirts on a hanger and Sfarim on a bookshelf are essentially the same. So it sounds like Ramosh is assuming that if the titles aren't apparent, then the Sfarim don't have so much of a distinct identity. And that makes it into the Rovis. Now maybe he would agree, because if I know that the pink Sefer is a Mishnah Berurah and the blue Sefer is a Rambam, so So then that's equivalent to having having titles. But if they all look exactly the same, and I can't tell which is which, maybe that makes it a tarova. It's not so clear. I might have more intuitively assumed that that's on the fact that they're on a bookshelf doesn't make it into a tarovas per se. Rabbi Karp also quotes from the Stipler, from the Orchos Rabbeinu, that the Stipler assumed that there's no problem with Boer when it comes to cutlery, even if they're mixed together. That's not called a tarovas because each piece of cutlery has its independent identity. Most poskim is another way. That's who goes from the Stipler, and he says that's what the Stipler's Rebbetzin was knowing at home, Chazanish's sister. But at the same time, so you would have assumed if he held away by cutlery, then Koshigin he held away by Svarim. But he also quotes, and Ayin L'Shulish quotes from the Nissen Karelis or the Chazanish, that the Chazanish, when he learned from Svarim on Shabbos, would leave them on the table till Motzei Shabbos, but not because he was concerned about Boer, because he was concerned about Ma'amer. Now, Ma'amer is not our topic, and we skip Ma'amer. I don't think we'll have time to go back to it this year. But what's unclear about that is the Gemara has an Ayin Gimel Beis, Ein Ma'amer Ela B'Gidulei Karka. So that's questionable why Ma'amer would apply to Sfarim. But he quotes over there that maybe the Chazanish, so it could be the Chazanish, if that's the case, the Chazanish wasn't worried about Boer. So if he wasn't worried about cutlery, presumably Koshigin wouldn't have been worried about Boer. But Ayin L'Shulish says something else, that maybe he wasn't worried about Boer because there's an easy fix. You can just, if you want to put the safer back on the shelf, if it's Petarovitz, you can just learn from it for a minute and then avoid the problem. But again, if the representation of the Orchos Rabbeinu for the Stipler that the Chazanish held away also was that he wasn't worried about Boer when it comes to cutlery, so then presumably he wouldn't have been worried about it when it comes to Svarim either. And the Orchos Rabbeinu also says that he heard, sorry, the Orchos Shabbos says. Orchos Shabbos says that he heard from Shmuel Orbach that once someone told the Chazanish that Shlomo Zalman was machmir on Boer when it comes to Svarim on a bookshelf. Not clear exactly what the application of that was. And the Chazanish reportedly said that they should convey that the Chazanish disagreed. He didn't think that there's any problem with Boer when it comes to Svarim on a bookshelf. Yeah.
The only problem with putting the back
in the
bookshelf?
No, the problem is if it's in a pile on the table. That's more of a Boer consideration, meaning Svarim on a bookshelf, that seems to be, there are many reasons to believe that's not a problem Boer at all. Svarim piled haphazardly on a table, or even not so haphazardly, that could be a tarovis. So then, that's possibly bigger issue of Boer. That would be solved if you are ma'ayin in every safe before you put it back, if you believe that there's a problem Boer at all.
So it's definitely not a
problem
with Boer if it's dark?
Or is it not definitely. Ramosha seems to assume that it is. And the other poskim don't agree.
Why does Ramosha hold that?
So it sounds like he's assuming that every time, if you can't easily identify the individual svara, that makes him into a tarovas. Okay.
Isn't the, let's say the Chazanish to put back a sefer, so why can't we apply the same kula we said from Shlomo Zalman for an oreach? Meaning I have a tzorach right now to put the sefer back for whatever.
What's the tzorach right now?
It's taking up space on the table. So even though it's not going to be used out there, but that's...
That doesn't make... Cool. So that's not the same... I don't think that's the same as the guest. Because you're borrowing something as far as the borrower is concerned, you're using it right away. So he doesn't have to ask any questions because he can assume that it's for la'alter use. Here, it's just between you and you.
Right. No, but also he had, at least had a suffix by the face of an arayach sending him with food.
Right.
Might eat it in a couple hours, but for me, the kibud is done now.
Yes, I don't know if that's the same, because here it's, again, it's all has to do with you. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the same. There's a Shuvah the Marashag, Hungarian posek from the turn of the last century. Shuvah Marashag, Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Zayin. Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Zayin. So he was asked about, apparently, the practice in the community that asked him was, how do you, age old problem, how do you keep track of Nisha Nadars on Shabbos? People donate money when they get an aliyah. How do you remember how to build them after Shabbos? So Rav Avadya writes in the Shuvah that when he got to Egypt, he was shocked to see that they had a Nochri in Shul writing down the Mishnah Nadars every Shabbos. So he wasn't such a fan of that. He didn't think that was a permitted application of a Mir Nochri. But he writes that he didn't think you have to protest over that. There are much bigger problems in Egypt that the Rav Avadya had to deal with, that wasn't top of his priorities. But in Hungary, they didn't go so far. But apparently they had a box of cards or some kind of pieces of paper. And they would take it out of the box on Shabbos, and the person pledged his Mishnah Adar. And then they would put it somewhere on some other sheet that would indicate the correspondence between the pledge and the node there. And then they'd write it down after Shabbos and put the original card back when Shabbos was over. So he's addressing whether there's a concern of Boer over there, because they have a bunch of different, let's say, cards. It's not exactly sure what the full mechanics were, but let's say you had different cards of different denominations. So let's say that's a Taroves, and I'm removing one of those now, which arguably is not considered la'alter, because I don't really need that now. No one's giving the money now. So maybe that's... I'm sorry?
Isn't the point to, like, do something to identify the person?
So you're saying that should be called la'alter?
Yeah.
Okay, but he seems to be assuming in the Shaila that maybe that's not called la'alter. For our purposes, that's not really relevant. So Toch HaDvarim, one of the Yesodos that he comes up with in answering this question, Toch HaDvarim, he says he's bothered, why is it, or at least he notes the fact, that he never saw his Rebbeim being makbid not to remove a sefer from a Taroves, or not to remove a beged from a Taroves on Shabbos. If you have clothing hanging, or in a closet, or in a drawer, or a svarim, no one, he never saw his Rebbeim express any concern about Boer in that context. So he says the following yisod. Nira, this is Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Zayin Shuvas Marashag. Nira de Bemelechus Boer, lo shayach ele bimidi, de laachar she yivror, eina derech lachzor, u laariv hadvarim, kemo b'chol psoles hanivar mina ochel, de laachar abreira shuv eima arvin apsoles ima ochel. He says, Boer is only relevant where I have the tarovas of ochel psoles, and I'm removing the psalus, and the psalus is never going to re-enter the ochel. And that was Boer b'mishka. He says, even if I have shnei ochlin, I have subjective psalus. But if I'm removing the subjective psalus, I'm not mixing it back together in afterwards. So in those situations, that's an act of brera. But over here, when it comes to these piskos for the Mishnah Adars, he says, the minhag is, at Moshe Shabbos, you write down on the ledger who pledged what, and then you put the piskos back where they started. So that's not an act of brera. He says, the raya is that no one was ever makbid about sfarim and clothing. So he says this to explain the practice of the Mishnah Adar cards, but he's saying that that's why you never have to worry about Boer when it comes to Sfarim, because I take a sefer off the shelf and it's going to go back into the shelf. If I have a pile of Sfarim, I take the sefer is going back into a pile of Sfarim. I have clothing in a drawer, the clothing will go back to the drawer. So I may wash it in the meantime, but it'll go back to the drawer. So that's his yisod, that there's no bor in something that naturally is going to return to the tarovas. And if you accept that, then there's nothing to worry about when it comes to svarim at all. Debrisiner, Chelik Vav, Simen Samaches, also Hungarian, assumes that in principle the Marshag is correct, but he says if you're going to be Machmir to look into a sefer for a minute after you take it off the shelf or you put it back to the shelf, you remove it from the pile, Tavo Alav Bracha. Rav Asher invokes this Marshag in the following context as well. In the back of the Minchas Asher and Shabbos, he has a few tshuvos, Nechtavim. So Nechtav Vav, in the back of Minchas Asher and Shabbos, he addresses playing Rummy Cube on Shabbos. Not Alts playing games, but assuming that leaving aside the audience and whether it's an appropriate Shabbos activity, but as far as Malachos Shavo, can you play Rummy Cube on Shabbos? What's the problem? That you have your... Everyone knows what Rummy Cube is? Google it. So you have your cards with the different colors and the different numbers, and you're moving them around in front of you to make matches in front of you and then on the board. So isn't that an act of bor? I'm putting the ones that I'm using here, I'm taking away the ones that I'm not using. So there could be acts of bor that are not that are subjective soles mitoch ha'ocha. So he says, number one, it could be this is all really considered to be min echad. Number two, that's how you play the game. You're not going to call that bor soles mitoch ocha. Part of the game is that I put the ones I want here, the ones that I don't want there. That's how I organize my pieces. So it wouldn't be considered soles for that reason. But he adds in the Marshag as well. If you accept the Yisod of the Marshag, that anything that's going to end up in the same Tarov as where it starts is not subject to Boer. See here too, the pieces all belong in the box where they started after the game's over. So for that reason, it shouldn't be subject to Boer either. He writes, this is Halacha Ulala Maisa, but he adds the Marshag as a consideration to the Shaila. Yeah?
Isn't just, like,
no, because he's talking about where, let's say, I want to put on the board the orange sevens, but I'm pushing away the black 12. Meaning, I could
from your...
right to the other side. Or if I'm doing that, is that a problem of bor?
Okay.
Fine.
No. Repeating again, what was the halacha of l'lamaisa? Meaning that
his tshuva. He just writes that writing the tshuva l'halacha of l'lamaisa.
Oh, well, what was wrong with the tshuva?
What was wrong with the tshuva?
Meaning, was it not something on the
This was, I think, many years ago. He's become a lot more confident in saying innovative things than maybe he was when he was younger. I don't know.
Father Rabbi, as far as that, just it's not soulless, that's why.
Well, a few things. Number one, maybe it's Minachod. Number two, that's how you play the game. So you don't call up souls for that reason. And then you have the Marshav.
The Marshag's Svar is
that Boer is only where I have a Tarovas and I'm removing Solas because Solas doesn't belong there. But if I'm removing something that belongs there, it's going to go back there afterwards anyway. That's not Boer.
Even if it is Solas,
but that's not that's not Dumi Demishkan. That's not the kind of Boer that's a Malacha. Okay. And then the Aruch HaShulchan has additional considerations as to why Svarim may not be a problem. Shin Yud Tes, beginning Sif Zayin through Seif Tes. So he asks, how is it? Eich Matzani Yadeinu V'Ragleinu V'Kam Dvarim. You have cutlery mixed together that poses significant potential bor problems. You have clothing mixed together. You have svarim mixed together. What's the mahalach hamechuver to address this? So he writes in Siv Tes, two considerations. Number one, that something that's nikar har bela, ein haroe, is not subject to boer. That's not considered selection. That's just taking. It's netila, not brera. So if I have clothing, if I have svarim, if I have kelim, so then that doesn't have the appearance at all of a tarovis. If I have a fruit bowl, or I have a platter of pieces of meat and chicken, that's a tarovis. If I have svarim on the shelf, if I have clothing in the closet, that doesn't have the appearance of a tarovis. That's nikar la'ayin, that these are distinct things. Even pile of svarim, you could argue that's considered nikar la'ayin, that they're distinct and not a tarovis. And consideration number two, he writes, Bishas harei svar, the bishas achila yachol litol ochla mitocha psales v'lecho she'daser beira. So in general, even in a situation of borer, there's a heter of ochla mitocha psales l'alter, or ochla mitocha psales bishas achila, which is even better. That's not called borer at all. The derech achila b'kach. He says a memela, so that heter derech achila that maybe is matter even right before the achilas we discussed when it comes to klipos and the like. He says memela, the bchalad dvarim shanu tzrichin keis lil bosha begadim l'shamish bakelim v'lil ma basvarim havi kishas achila v'lo shayach bazeh brera. So maybe just like there's a heter possibly a bishas achila that you could even be borer. That you could even be barb salt mitoch ochel, possibly bishas achila. So here, whenever I need the sefer, whenever I need the clothing, that's like shas achila. He says, if that's a consideration, that won't allow you to separate things shelo la'alter. The first consideration would allow even la'alter. Okay. So bottom line, when it comes to svarim on a bookshelf, there's a lot to be makele about that that's not a tarobes. Even svarim in a pile, the general consensus of the poskim seems to be that it's kedai lahachmir, at least to look at something for a minute before you put it away. But there are many stadim lahakel regardless. You have the marashak's consideration that borer doesn't apply to something that's supposed to go back to the tarovis to the beginning. In the beginning, you have the aruch hashulchan's two considerations that if something's nikar la'ayin, it's not a tarovis at all. And you have the shas achila consideration. You also have the or sameach, who assumes that there's no tarovis in any of these things to begin with at all. And finally, another thing to throw into the mix is the question as to whether one could argue that boer is only relevant v'gidulei karka. Where did that come from? Such a position that ain't boer ella v'gidulei karka. So we had noted when we spoke about Zorah, if you give anger skepticism about the application of the Yerushalmi that the Rama quotes, that spitting into the wind would be a violation of Zorah. So there's the line in the Hagos of Yigveger, the Chidush Man Shulchan Aruch, but there's a tshuva, I think we referenced previously, Kama Simen Kaf, Kama Simen Kaf. So there, Yigveger discusses, even though the Rama does quote these Yerushalmi Lalach, it's not quoted by most Yerushalmim. And he thinks that maybe the reason that the Rishonim don't quote this Yerushalmi Lalach has something to do with Ein Borer Shelo B'Gidulei Karka, just like Ein Disha Shelo B'Gidulei Karka. And he says, even the Ramah that does go to Yerushalmi Lalacha. Maybe that's assuming that the person is considered Gedulei Karka, and therefore the person spits, that is Gedulei Karka oriented. But the Nidon that he was asked about, where a woman is pouring some water out of the window into a Chatzim Rebbe, so there's no Hazal consideration, and that's going to spread out in the wind. So even though ostensibly you would have said that's Bechlal, the Chumra, the Ramah, based on Yerushalmi, maybe not. Maybe that's better than Yerushalmi's case, because Yerushalmi's case is only by a person that spits, and Ein Disha, and Ein Zorah, and by extension Borer, Ella, the Gedulei Karka. So the Rabbi Kevager here is talking about Zorah, Ein Zorah, Ella, the Gedulei Karka, possibly. The Klei Chemda, Chemdas Yisrael, Kuntres Ner Mitzvah Os Yud Gimel extends this as a possible justification for Minhag Olam to be made about removing bones from fish on Shabbos. So that's what all the later Chonim are perplexed by. The Mishabrua we saw has an Arichus. So how do we justify what seems to be common practice that people would remove bones from fish in an ostensibly non-permissible fashion? So the Chemdas Yisrael suggests, well, maybe if you say Ein Zorah Ela B'Gedulei Karka that Rabbi Kevager, then by extension Ein Borer Ela B'Gedulei Karka, because Zorah and Borer are fundamentally the same melacha. And even though that'll only knock it down possibly to the Rabbanan, meaning even if Ein Borer Ela B'Gedulei Karka, maybe that's only Mila Torah, then the Rabbanan, there'll still be an Isser Shalom Gedulei Karka, but then at least you could be Somech on those Rishonim that we don't accept at face value, but at least the sheet is out there, the Rid that we had mentioned, that is Matir Soles Mitoch Ochel La'alter Soles Mitoch Ochel La'alter. So you're going to remove a fish before you eat, remove bones from the fish before you eat the fish. The maybe, he says, Minhag Olam is predicated on Ein Borer Ela B'Gedulei Karka Min HaTorah, and then we knock it down to the Rabban, and for that you can be Mekel that Solas Mitoch Ochel would be Mutter. That's a creative suggestion of the Chemdas Yisrael. Rav Avadya discusses this a little bit. He doesn't like the Chemdas Yisrael, but he discusses this in Yabi Omer Chelakei, Simen Lamed Aleph, Chelakei, Simen Lamed Aleph. He says he doesn't understand. So the whole Trumas Hadeshen, which is the source of the Ramaz Psak in defining Taroves and Shnei Minim, he's talking about fish. So Ein Lecha, Ein lecha non gedulei karka gadol mi fish. And the Trumas Hadesh is talking on a derisa level. So he doesn't think it's tenable to argue that Ein Borer Shalom gedulei karka. Fine. So that doesn't really help us that much. At worst, it would knock us down to a derabanan or a best. But just be aware that there is a little bit of such a discussion. Lahalacha v'lolamaisa, we do assume, as we've been working with this whole time, that Bar applies shalom b'gedulei karka. That's not going to help us so much for Sarim, but the other nimukim of Achron that we mentioned are worth considering. There's another potential heter. No?
I'm just wondering, lahalacha, do we consider Sarim b'gedulei karka in the sense that they're all made of paper?
Okay, I guess maybe you could argue that they are Gedulei Karka. Okay. Fine. There's another heter at play, potentially, that'll help with Svarim. Even if you assume that having a pile of Svarim is considered a Taroves, and you want to put Svarim back onto the shelf on Shabbos, so we saw At the very worst, if that's a problem of Borer, you can read each sefer as you put it back on the shelf. That at least makes it into removing it from the Tarovis for altar consideration. However, not to discourage anyone from reading Svarim at any available opportunity, but there may be another kula that you wouldn't even have to come on to that. Shmir Shabbos has, in the end of Parag Gimel, it's, I'm looking at the second edition, but it's Sif Peches in the third edition. He writes, if you have clothing that was on a clothesline and you take it off the clothesline, you can't put them into piles if you can't sort the laundry. But if you take it off one by one, you can put it away. Where it belongs. You can't sort the laundry in the laundry room, but if you have a pile of mixed laundry, you could take one piece at a time and put it in its correct location. You could take a sock and put it in the sock drawer, then you could take a shirt and put it in the shirt drawer, you could take a t-shirt and put it in the t-shirt drawer. And that's what is referred to colloquially as the heter of habal yada. That's not called removing something from a tarobes. That's just whatever you pick up first, you're putting away. So that's relevant to svarim as well. If there is such a heter, so you have a pile of svarim, so you couldn't take out the middle sefer and put it away, and then the bottom sefer and put it away. That you take the top sefer, put it away, then take the next sefer, put it away. That's not removing things from a tarobes. That's just taking whatever is bali ado and putting it away. The Ayin Meshulash rejects such a heter mikol vakol, Paragid Aleph Seif Samach Gimel. He says if that was the case, so isn't that the easier solution for the Trumas Hadeshen's nidon of a piece of the fish? You want to put away fish from the platter to use for tomorrow, so why don't you just take one piece and put it away, and then take the next piece and put it away? Isn't that a heter of liado? I don't know if that's the strongest raya, meaning the Trumas Hadeshen is being done. What are the parameters of permitted or prohibited borer in the Taroves at present? Doesn't mean there can't be another solution as well, but that's what the Ayil Meshulash assumes. And he writes that he asked Rav Yashiv was masking that there's no heter of min habali ado, and he calls the Rabbi Falk sefer that Rabbi Falk said the same thing, b'shem Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman. If that was the case, a little curious if Rav Shlomo Zalman held the way that Shmir Shabbos wouldn't have noted that in Paskin to the contrary, but that's what he quotes from Rabbi Falk. Rabbi Willard told his pasha that there's such a heter b'ali ado that's not called an act of borer if you just take what you most easily access and put it away, and then take the next thing that you access and put that away. Usher.
Two questions. Number one, is there a if you're just trying to put away everything,
right,
is anything called ochel psolos?
It doesn't have to be ochel psolos, meaning even if you have two things that you want right now or two things that you don't want right now and you're putting them in separate piles, we explain that's also an act of borer. The hafrada is borer also.
Okay. And also, in terms of, like, we were saying about making something in order, like, within a pile itself. So we were also, like, reading the Rosh Hashanah, like, if you have pages or something that are out of order,
right,
he says, like, don't put them back in order.
You're reading
in the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
It's like, what, or I guess the laundry or whatever.
Right.
Like, why can't you do that if it's still within the Torah? You're just, like, mixing around the
tarovis. So mixing around the tarovis is mutter, but I think he's assuming that's not called mixing around the tarovis. That's already... Meaning, if I have a mess of things mixed together and I just go like that and it's still the same mess, then that's not an act of Borer. But if I keep a Tarovis there, but I'm putting them in some order in the Tarovis, that is an act of Borer. If I'm ordering the Tarovis.
Even still a Tarovis.
Even still a Tarovis, but I'm ordering that Tarovis could be putting or Seder into the Tarovis, maybe an act of Borer, because I'm in a Mechuvan way separating things.
Also, both the other, just to clarify, just means like you're randomly picking something, you're not thinking about it.
Right. Okay. So the other category of Borer that we outlined was Tarovis b'makom hamaga, where the mixture is at the point of intersection. It's not a Tarovis that's balul, that's all mixed together, but there's a point of intersection between substance one and substance two. Magen Avraham, the end of Sifkat and Tesvav, isn't sure whether such a category exists b'chlau. Ayel Meshulach points out maybe the Magen Avraham's skepticism is because of the Shvi'is of Sashavis' kasha, which is, if there's such a notion of Tarovis b'makom, well, I'm going to say this. The Magen Avraham isn't sure, but he ends up being the machmir, that we do treat a Tarovis b'makom magas Tarovis. The Ayel Meshulach says maybe he assumes that way, or he lands that way, because the Shvi'is of Shabbos is Ha'ara, that if Tarovis b'makom magas was not a Tarovis, then why are we done b'chlal about removing a peel from a fruit? That's essentially a form of Tarovis b'makom hamaga, where they're not mixed together. It's just at the point of connection. But either way, bottom line, we assume that Tarovis b'makom hamaga is considered to be a Tarovis. And this is most relevant to the age-old question of the fly in the soup. Bar Hetev, in Sifkat and Beis, quotes from the Maritats. Maritats Sham Hiter Lahasirat Sira Menakos B'Shabbos. So it's even worse. He had a hornet in the soup. Mitam Acher De'ein Breira Balach. That you're allowed to remove the fly from the soup because it's in a liquid. There's no brayer in a liquid. The gam is hatsira yeshalach, play on words. The lo shayach brayra ela mashet sarach lefashvesh v'livror. Brayer is only relevant if you need to find, to access that which you're separating, to access some solace. Aval darish etzach lamala far baruhu. But if it's floating on the top, it's already huvar memela. And that's not an act of Borer. Then he quotes the Taz, which we'll see in a minute, that assumes that this is a Taroves, which we'll get to. So Rahid is quoting the Maritats, that a fly in the soup is not, or a hornet in your tea, is not subject to Boer, because it's already Huvrar Mei Elav. It's floating on its own. That's not called a Tarovis. Rabbi Willie pointed out, if you look in the Maritats inside, the Maritats doesn't say that. The Maritats says something totally different, that the reason this isn't subject to Borer is when it comes to liquids, Brera is only done with a strainer. We'll talk about that in Rosh Hashem tomorrow, the sugyas of Mishameres. But Breira on liquids is only done with the strainer. If you're removing something from a liquid with your hands, that's not derech breira bekach at all. Not because the fly is not mu'urav, not because it's huvrar memela, but because that's not the derech of borer when it comes to liquids. The Rabbi Karp also notes this, that this is not the way the Bar Heitav quotes the Maritas, is not what the Maritas says, but he thinks it's a Tos Sofrim, and the Bar Heitav didn't mean to quote a Maritas, but rather he meant to quote the Mari Chagiz, who does say what the Bar Heitav quotes from the Maritats. Okay. Be that as it may, the Taz, the famous Taz, in Sifkat and Yud Gimel, assumes that no, this is the situation of the fly in the soup, is indeed subject to Breira. He writes, that if you have flies that fall into a cup, you're not allowed to remove the flies on their own. You can't just remove the flies. Davalei kibor ipsoles, ela yikach min amashke kitzas imahem. But rather, you have to remove some liquid together with the fly. This is what the Mishnah Berurah famously quotes Lahalacha in Sifkatan Samach Aleph. Kishenofil Zvuv O Dover Acher B'macha L'mashke Lo Yasir Zvuv Bein B'yad Bein M'kli Davei Bor B'solus Me'ochel El Yikach Sas Gamin Amacha L'mashke Imo V'Yisrok. You have to remove some of the mashke together with the fly and remove it. Fundamentally, this is a taroves, this is subject to boer, and therefore you can't be boer psoles mina ochel in this situation. You'd have to remove some of the liquid with it, and that makes it ochel min ha'ocha. And then the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Samach Beis, further on the theme of taroves b'makom hamaga, assumes as well that if you have shuman, you have fat that's floating on top of a liquid, that is considered a taroves, and that's subject to borer as well. So the Mishnah Berurah assumes, the Mishnah Berurah quoting the Taz, assumes that the Taz sees this as a standard taroves. If you remove some of the liquid together with the fly, that makes it ochel mitocha ochel, which would be mutter. Chazan Ish, in the beginning of Simin Nun Gimel, has a different read of the Taz. The way the Chazan Ish understood the Taz is that the Taroves is not the point of intersection between the fly and the soup. The Taroves is that there's soup on top of the fly as well. If the fly is floating on the soup, there's some soup on the fly's back. So if you're going to remove some of the soup together with the fly, so you're removing any, you're cutting off the possibility of any taroves. Because if I have, the only taroves that I have is where the soup is on top of the fly's back. So if I'm removing some of the liquid together with the fly, then the liquid that remains is not at all connected to the fly. So there's no tyroves remaining. It's not addressing a tyroves. The way he says it, the beginning of Siman Nun Gimel, he quotes the Taz, he quotes the Bar Hetev. He says, what's the basis of the Taz's hat there? L'chora, b'chol borer psoles mitoch ochel, afim yikach ksas mina ochel ima psoles, aser, kol shedaito ala ochel anishar shehe bar. So the way the Mishnah Berurah presents the Taz, that you have what we'll call a tarovus from Makom HaMakom. So I can't just remove the fly because that's removing psoles from ochel. But if I remove some of the ochel together, so then that's ochel mitoch ochel. So Chazaneh says, why should that be the case? Bottom line, the ochel that I'm removing is just a katim to remove the psoles, which is aser. So why? What have I accomplished? Why isn't that still an act of prayer? L'chor b'chol borer psoles mitoch ochel afim yikach sas min ochel mem psoles aser. Kol shedaito ala ochel anisha shiye bar. Elashenu chash ledakdek shelo yala ma'at min ochel im hapsolas. Hachanami, harei pulasa mochicha lav she'en kavanasa l'chalik ha'mashke l'beis kelim, ala daito l'nakos esakos min azvuf. Ubama nigra malachto v'ma shalokeak sas min ha'mashke asher kol kavanasa b'zeh b'nei shasruhu lo si kizuz l'vaz. What have you accomplished? Your whole motivation is to remove the psoles. So what difference does it make that I'm removing a little bit of the soup together with the psoles? But my point is, I want to be borrowing the psoles from the soup and have just soup remaining. So what does removing some of the psoles, the ochel from the psoles, accomplish? So he says, v'nira devade svaras amari tats emes. The kol shetzafi omu v'nei atzmo. So the way the Bar Hetev presents the Maritats. The Ein Borer El B'Davar Hamu'urav Vayidei Abrera Mischadeshes Tsuraso Libru B'Nikia. So the only time that I really have a Borer scenario is where I have a Taroves, and by removing the psoles, now that which was b'tarovus goes back to its pristine, clean state. So he says, so what's the heter over here? Yesh makom lomar, shayayin shemetafteif al guf ha-zivuv, shem tarovus aleha. The hilkach sfilei letaz shem yikach hazvuv atzmo al karka chashet boir lahayayin shaya tofeach al gufa. He says like this. Really, the relationship, the maritaz is correct. The relationship between the fly and the soup is such that that's not called a tarovus. The fly is floating on the soup, it's not part of the soup, it's not a tarovus. So then why can't you just take out the fly lehedya? So the taz is assuming, if you're going to take out this fly, al karcha chashiv boer lahayayin shayatofeach al gufa ubein snapira. The problem isn't the bulk of the soup in the bowl or the wine in the cup. The problem is the wine that's on the body, the back, the wings of the bug. The hilkach. So if I were to just take out the bug, then the wine on its wings would fall into the rest of the cup, and I'm basically removing psoles from that ochel which is on the wings of the bug. The hilkach yikach sas mashkimo v'mashka nishar v'adai lav shem bor lav shesviv lo yamur v'klal. So what I'm addressing, according to the Taz, according to the Chazon Ish, is not the taroves of the fly with the cup of wine in toto. I'm addressing the tarovas of the fly with the wine on the fly's back. So if I remove some of the wine together with the fly, so then none of the wine on his back, which was part of a tarovas, is going to remain in the cup.
The difference of the Chazanish's understanding and Pasha understanding has, for the Chazanish, you need to take out a much lesser amount than Pasha understanding has.
The Taz doesn't give you a shear.
Is there a shear?
I don't think there's a shear per se.
So then what's the Machlokes Maritatz and Chazanish? Maritatz?
No machlok is maritas. The Chazanish is saying he thinks the maritas is correct. The Varhetas version of maritas is correct. And then, if that's the case, the Taz sounds like a chumra. Why do you need to remove anything with the fly? So the reason you have to remove something with the fly is because we're worried about the taroves of the wine on top of the fly's back.
But in the Varhetas part of maritas, there wasn't any qualification of being mosif and taking some of the mashke. He was happy
correct.
To bring it up a little bit.
Correct. So he's saying the Taz has a chumra. Because of that consideration, that maybe we're worried about the wine on the fly's back.
The very last one didn't feel that there was a taros there. He thought it's not a taros, but well, even the wine on the back.
Right. So that's how the Chazan Ish understands the Taz. According to the Mishnah Brura, the Taz is assuming that you have a real taros here. Taros Makam Amag is a real taros in this case of the fly. And therefore, you have a. But yet, there's a kula that if you remove some of the wine together with the fly, that's considered ochel mitoch ochel, even if it's masking your real motivation to just remove the fly. And the Chazanish assumes, oh, if that anacha was correct, that we're talking about a real taroves, then there would be no heter to remove the fly together with other liquid. The only reason the Taz is saying that is not a kula, but a chumra, because we're worried about the wine, the soup on the top of the fly's back. Maybe that itself is a localized taroves.
But what's the problem with that? The fact that you have removing part of the liquid with the fly.
Chazanish assumes that if your motivation is to remove the psoles from the ochel, so it doesn't help you, that that's an act of bor, it doesn't help that you're taking out some ochel also. Because you're not doing that to use the ochel that you're taking out, you're not drinking the soup that you're taking out with a fly, you're doing that to clean the rest of the soup. You're doing that for the benefit of the rest of the soup, not because you want the ochel that you're removing. Shmir Shabbos has the following observation. He writes in Perek Gimel Ha'ara Mem Aleph B'Shem Reb Shlomo Zalman that even the Taz should agree that if you have multiple flies in the soup, then you would throw out the soup. Right. But that's
good soup.
And if there's one fly, then you wouldn't. That's the mission they had to get there. But so Shmir Shabbos goes to Shlomo Zalman saying that even the Taz should agree that if there are multiple flies in the soup, that's a real taroves, and then it doesn't help you to remove soup together with the flies. It's not so clear why that would be so weird to draw the line, especially because the Taz says vuvim, plural. That's not so clear. But the Mishnah Brura seems to assume there alacha dirmaskala boer tisif dalid, sifdal dirmaskala boer. He assumes in the Taz that the Taz is telling you a blanket heter, not like the Chazanish is understanding, that any time you have psoles mixed together with ochel, as long as you remove ochel together with the psoles, that is mutter. Doesn't make a difference, Chazanish's argument that bottom line you're misaki the ochel, because Mishra would say bottom line, you're forget about what your motivation is. You're doing an act of removing ochel from ochel, which is heter gomer. So that's relevant to the fly in the soup. That's relevant to removing bones from fish together with other fish. That's relevant to removing piss from watermelon together with watermelon. So I think that consensus of the poskim is like the Mishnah Berurah, not like the Chazon Ish, to understand the Taz as a kula. We did quote for a different reason earlier the Alter Rebbe in his little piece where he warns people about things that you're commonly nishal about in Shabbos. He assumes, not with the Taz at all, that you can't just remove solas, you can't just remove soup with the bug. You'd have to spill out the soup until the bug gets away together with whatever soup you needed to spill out. But if you're not a Lubavitcher, then the consensus of the poskim is we accept the Taz with the Mishnah Berurah's reading of the Taz. See, if you have a fly in the soup and you're still interested in the soup, then if you remove the fly together with some of the soup, that would be permissible. Okay. In one of Rabbi Eider's Ramosha Shuvas of Ches, he assumes that if you have a paper wrapping on a sausage or a salami, then you can remove it only la'alter. That is an act of boer. And Shmir Shabbos writes something similar, meaning it's no worse than a klipa where you could remove it the samach la'achila, because that's the derech achila. But he assumes that you can't remove it shelo la'alter. Shmir Shabbos writes the same thing, Perek Gimel, Sif Mem Gimel, about a candy in a wrapper, that you could only remove the candy from the wrapper, samuch la'achila. However, Shmir Shabbos quotes Ha'ara Kuf Kaf Ches from Shlomo Zalman, that if the candy, the following distinction, if the candy is attached to the wrapper, meaning it's stuck to the wrapper, and then that may be analogous to a klipa where there is a bar consideration and it's only permissible to remove it la'alter samach la'achila. But if it's not davuk, if the candy is not davuk to the wrapper, it's not attached, then that's not an act of boer. That's analogous to removing something from a pocket. And then it would be matriv shelo la'alter. Orcha Shabbos accepts that as well. Rabbi Eider points out Sefer Bris Olam, Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, page Mem Gimel. He writes, Boris Hifei, that even though the wrappers, sorry, even though the peel on a fruit is subject to borer, that's because it's a natural chibor. But if it wouldn't be a natural chibor, then it would not be so subject to borer.
I understand the connection.
I'm sorry?
Maybe if it's, why wouldn't you say that if it's an artificial chibor, then of course.
Why wouldn't you say that if it's an artificial chibor?
Well, better?
You're saying that a standard case of borer Well, his raya is Kuf Mem Aleph that you could be shomek mina me'al ha'imam, that if you have a shoe on a mold, then you could remove the shoe from the mold. Why isn't that boer? So he thinks that's because it's not a natural chibor. That a klipa is only such as the boer, it's a natural chibor. If it's artificial, then that's not really a tarobis. If it grows away, you call that a tarobis. If it's artificial, it's not a tarobis. I can't find right now where he talks about it. Okay, I'll try to look for tomorrow, and we'll try to clarify that tomorrow. Okay, let's stop here for today. Mirta Shem, tomorrow.